Zalengo, this is Kinetic and Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, March 3rd, 2002 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 61, Blacks in the Business of Slavery Part 1. Your guests will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, celebrating 1,058 days and nights of broadcasting since December 1998, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM, Kaka Inko Yuhuru. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
So this land is set up shop to work his sin. He
is clear. R. Folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear. C. Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him. Troops our weapon will collect. We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought and sold. See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lessons of mine on thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. Giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,639th night of broadcasting in the place to be with we out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. It's one correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Network Internet co-creation, the Human Rights Patrol. That's Dada Kanani Kentaco and Zalango to you over there, warrior.
Zalango.
It's time for volume number
61
of the Human Rights Radio Network Internet co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol. Dada Kanani's here to do the most important part of the show. That's right. Give a shout out to those who make it possible for so many of you to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth. Warrior, let it be heard.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yohuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio run by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Now, you know what started as 0.4 watt reaching a couple thousand people in a 2x4 block area in a concentration camp called the Hayes Home now serves over 1 million people coast to coast, over 100,000 African captives when the Human Rights Information Network's in full effect, and that's who carries the Human Rights Patrol across the planet. But like for like the human rights programming on a daily, 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis, you got the Human Rights Radio Network in full effect. And the brother who helped make us help get this all started is out of the criminal on the telephones with us tonight, Kanadi. You know who that is, right?
That's right.
So, well, we're going to talk with him for a while. You'll be back later on. Share with the folks those shout-outs again. The co-producer makes her way by way of Human Rights Radio transport to the other parts of this humble place here. And we go by way of telephone up to the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. Hook up a war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, celebrating their 1,058th day and night of broadcasting since December 1998. I'm talking about Kaka Inko Yohuru and Zalango to your warrior.
Zalango, brothers, glad to be black on the scene, dropping these human rights themes to the African people.
Well, brother, I was telling the folks there that, you know, you and I remember sitting here with you and in the fall of 1998, we was talking. You said, brother, I got to get back to Durham because we got to get on the air. And thus start the development of this growing Human Rights Information Network. And I wanted to let the folks know that before we get started on your 1,058th day and night of broadcasting out there in a criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. What are we going to talk about tonight, Warrior?
Well, brother, Sister Asset Bukufu came out with a book, The Six Black Presidents. And I'm telling you, brother, people are not running out to get that book. And there's a lot of reasons why. But one of them, because they don't want to face their history.
Yeah, Warrior, we had a chance to talk with that sister back in the day here at Human Rights Radio.
That's right, bro.
Very heavy sister, and I think anybody ought to get that book, Six Black Presidents, Black Blood, White Mask.
That's right, sister, brother. And the sister was born right here in the Critter Prize they call North Carolina.
Yeah, man, she holds that accent good, too. Last we talked to her.
That's right, bro. And we want to come from her book because we want to let the people know how there could have been six black presidents, how we know there were.
Right, and that's very important to comprehend. Now, don't trip, because we know that it's a crime to be black in this land, but that's on certain roads.
That's right.
On other roads, there's a whole bunch of folks better not get on them.
That's right, bro.
Let alone ask you what you doing on them if you black.
That's right, bro.
In this community, in all the communities across the criminal enterprise called the United States, there are roads. I'm talking about traveling roads. That the pigs know they bet not get on. And on those roads travel, those blacks, you know there were 14 black millionaires at the end of the Civil War?
That's right, bro.
I wonder how they made their money, brother.
But, brother, I can tell you, brother, that's right to the subject I want to talk about. I want to talk about one of those people who had the wealth like that, brother, and how he reacted and how he was. You know, far as back in that time, bro.
Brother, does he come from around there?
No, bro, this guy right here was in South Carolina, right around the corner, bro.
Okay. What was he doing, man? Who was this devil?
His name was William Ellison. And in 1860 was South Carolina's largest Negro slaveholder.
Wow.
And brother, he's going to go on and tell you, later on, that he had more slaves than 99% of the people in South Carolina.
Well, you know.
So, brother, he had if he was number two, who's number one, bro?
Brother, you got a thing against affirmative action or what?
I'm telling you, brother. Well, brother Stoss, I got this from an article called Dixie Censored Subject, Black Slave Owners, and it's by Robert M. Grooms, copyright 1997. And I got it at AmericanCivilWar.com.
Well, brother, you know, the thing everybody got to remember, there was no need for no playing no Uncle Tom back then. They said, get over here. That's what they meant.
That's right.
So if there was some Negroes with something back then, it's because, see, this is why, we got to talk about the Masons, y'all.
That's right, bro.
That's the only group that had it like that.
That's right, bro.
Every other black person was being beat down.
That's right, bro.
We got to talk about them. That's that two flags in the courtroom thing.
That's right, bro.
I mean, that's who kept that secret. See, there were not many, but there are some Negroes. Who? Because Greece was founded by a black man.
That's right, I'm telling you.
And how did Greece come up? Enslaving African people?
And if you look at it right now today, brother, you can see that color resemblance. It's still there.
And I ain't bragging, but so was Romulus and Remus.
That's right, bro.
They was black, right?
And brother, they got a picture in Miss Arset's book, Dr. Arset Bukufu's book in the back, and it's a picture of Eisenhower, brother, and I'm looking at it right now. And if you look at this this young man here, brother, he look like any brown-skinned black person you find on the streets of Durham or the streets of Springfield today, bro.
Well, she said it may come from German, you know?
That's right.
And you remember, what was that German queen that one of them British cats made? Queen Charlotte. They call her the Monkey Queen.
That's right.
And she was black.
That's right, bro.
See, there's been... Now, we're not letting the Euro-Asiatic one off that's classified as white. We're not letting them off for what they did because they took this crime called slavery to a level that no one ever took it to. And I know what they say. They say they looked in Inco's window and they saw Inco Somebody in Inco House, one of his nephews, took a cookie out the cabinet, so they said they could take one.
That's right, bro.
That's not how that works. Whatever they saw through the window was none of their business. That was their house. And if we had struggles with African people, we had struggles with Africa. That was not the time. If there was any time for them to stay out of our business, that would have been the time. But to say that's why they rationalized enslaving us to the extent that the Euro-Asiatic did, that ain't going. But we want to recognize and acknowledge, because you got to look at the fact that when those Europeans set their slave capsules up on the coast of Africa, and that, you got to comprehend which way the guns was pointed.
That's right, bro.
They was pointed toward the sea.
To keep the rest of them out.
Keep their own brothers from attacking them.
Right, bro.
They were safe in the midst of those house niggas.
That's right, bro.
Their guns was not pointed toward the inner land.
That's right, bro.
They were pointed toward the sea where their roguish brothers would come and steal their merchandise.
And that's why, brother, when they be pumping about the Civil War was fought to end slavery, and the Civil War was fought because of this or that, it was fought because of two reasons. Number one, they wanted to bring on their one money. And number two, them blacks down there in the South was getting mad pay. I mean, after a while, brother, them brothers were getting ready to come up north and take over.
Well, you know, another thing, because see, you see a lot of these so-called, I call them Zungu folk. That's white folk, foreign folk in Swahili, because I don't want to say hunky and keep that negative vibration in my mind. And I ain't going to say white folks no more, because that means pure, that means better, that means right. And everybody knows that means that. So I use the Swahili term because I'm trying to learn a language from home so I can get away from these fools anyway.
Break it down, bro.
But the Zungu folks, if you check it out, man, every time you hear them complaining about these house Negroes, it's because they living better than them.
That's right.
They ain't got nothing against them other than that. Because if you try to be anything other than a house nigga, they'll turn on you.
Hey, brother, what does Zulu mean again, brother?
Zungu.
Zungu.
That's M-Z-U-N-G-U. It means white folks or foreign folks.
Okay.
Yeah, that Kanadi, we pick up a word every day, you know, from the devil's news.
That's right,
you
bro.
Know, and I got that in, because I was going to call them hunkies for a while there, because that's what they make me think about all the time. But then again, I want to make it a growing thing, you know what I'm saying?
Bro.
I don't want to put that negative thought in my mind, you know what I'm saying? Your pops told me I can't call them crackers because I still like them in my soup.
I hear you.
And I didn't want to ruin a good bowl of soup.
I hear you, brother. Well, brother, you know, it comes to the point where we're dealing with these Zungus, and we have to break it down, brother, that, you know, when they keep squabbling about this or that, but like you say, it's always about what we had. And they look back down there in the South, brother, and they seen what the boss later on figured out, and Dr. Brock said another white historian had already figured out, that the rising tide of color was already taking over the South.
Right. Man, if you look at it, the average black plantation owner owned 16 slaves compared to the average white slave owner who owned 6.
That's right.
You get that from a book by a boy by the name of Philip Burnham called Selling Poor Stephen.
I'm telling you, brother, and it says right here, in 1860, there were at least 6 Negroes in Louisiana who owned 65 or more slaves.
In what year, brother?
In 1860.
60 or more? Now take that times $2,000. That's how much they had.
That's right.
$2,000 apiece.
That's right. It said another Negro slave magnate in Louisiana with over 100 slaves was Antoine de Bucklet, a sugar planter whose estate was valued at, in 1860 dollars, $264,000.
Wow.
That year, the mean wealth of Southern white man was $3,978.
And dude had over a quarter of a million, huh?
I'm telling you, bro.
Man, come on. Now, see, now them, y'all know these Negroes, man. You brothers that go to the gym, y'all know them Negroes.
I'm telling you.
They got the sweat wristbands, the headband, you know what I'm saying?
But we had a few of them around here. His name was William Gary. He's going to be trying to file for our reparations. And he had the Vander Holyfield, don't want to stop fighting before he get his brain knocked out. You know what I'm saying? We can understand how these people think because money is their main option.
Abraham Lincoln.
That's right, bro.
Now, if Lincoln wasn't a little black masturbator,
Well, brother, let's go down the list of them that I said Bakufu have in this book. She got Thomas Jefferson.
And you can't deny it. That's why, you know, he was raping all them black girls.
That's right, brother.
14-year-old little black girls he raping.
That's right. Got the Indian killer, Andrew Jackson.
All day long killing them, huh?
That's right, brother.
You know, who else could go ride all day and chase them down?
That's right.
The Zungu couldn't do it.
And you know what I'm saying? And he probably fooled so many Indian and brothers and sisters by playing like he was just another brother or sister.
Man, don't they always scream that brother stuff when they in the hood?
But brother, you know what I'm saying? That's why right now today they use them all day long to infiltrate the black organization and black groups. That's why if you're not fighting for nothing that's going to make a come up for your people, it don't do you no good to join them little organizations.
Well, if you don't, you know, volume number 60 of the Human Rights Patrol, we played elder, mentor, warrior, teacher, Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, sampled the talk he gave on the forest on Washington, right?
That's right, bro.
So this is not a new phenomenon, y'all. These Negroes, the Zungu would be the first folk in the history of the world that could take out a people without the assistance of some that look like them.
That's right, bro.
What was the name of that one Zungu native killer? What was his name? All of them were native killers. But he said, if y'all want me to go out here after these dang on a creek, y'all got to give me some creek to help me find them.
That's right.
I can't go after Arapaho unless I get some Arapaho to help.
Right. And Andrew Jackson.
Thank you. TJ, Tommy.
That's right.
Right? And then, you know, Dick Gregory, you said, pointed out six of the so-called presidents of the eight of them, of the Continental Congress.
That's right, bro.
They were black.
That's right.
See, you don't know because they like, you never seen pictures of Washington and them mama. That's a good point, Sister Aseth Bakufu point out. Why don't you see pictures of their parents?
That's right, bro.
See? And you got to, most of the folks that came to the lands that were not settled were black because they had always settled land for these Zungu.
And, brother, if you look at Eisenhower's mother, brother, you know, there's some sisters right now today around here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look just like.
Well, see, we got to deal with that. Not to the extent that lets the Zungu off for their crimes.
That's right.
But they got a whooping coming. My, I'm going to whoop them bad.
And, brother, what got me was when I seen a picture of Frederick Douglass and Karl Marx.
Well, you know.
And brother, they look like almost like brothers.
Well, you know, that's why they promote Frederick Douglass, too.
That's right, bro.
Because Frederick Douglass, he had a Zungu habit, you know?
He did, bro.
He had K-folk fever, man. He didn't know how to stay on the right side of the track.
Yeah, he did, bro.
And I want to say to folks that wonder why I always talk about that, because when my wife here in the summer of 2002 is going to get her mother, her grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter together, they're going to take a five-generation picture.
That's one.
When our granddaughter gets to the point where four generations are under her, the 10th generation could look all the way back to my wife's grandmother's eyes and see the resemblance.
That's right.
And if we respect the family seed, they'll all look the same.
That's right.
But if we don't, if we hate ourselves to the point where we want to look like the Zungu, we're going to stop that line right there.
That's right, brother.
Who wants their family pictured like that? I mean, if you're one of the Zungu, don't you want your family picture to be consistent over the generations?
That's right, bro.
I mean, that's where I'm, because generally what happens, the Zungu or the black folks in those relationships, both are there because they hate themselves.
And brother, check this out. How about them Zungus they call the pilgrims, brother? Now, how can you trace your family back to the pilgrims if you broke up the bloodline?
Thank you. Thank
you. So for them to stay pure and to be able to keep saying that, they have to do what? Keep bloodline pure.
And you know what happens then? A baby is born.
That's right.
A baby is born with two parents that hate the hell out they self.
I'm telling you.
What is going to happen? I've worked with those kids. Those babies are, and because the only purpose that baby serves, when the mama is mad at the daddy, then the baby hears that the daddy ain't nothing but a nigger.
That's right.
If the daddy mad at the mama, the baby here, the mama ain't nothing but a hunky.
That's right.
What is that child going to grow up having half of itself described like that anytime y'all have y'all temper tantrums?
That's right, bro.
That's not fair, man.
It ain't, bro.
And that's where I'm coming from. I don't care about what you want to do. I'm talking about respect these unborn children that you're going to be bringing on this earth.
That's right.
Give them a chance. Give them a place where they know they belong. See, you know, they don't think about that because they're so damn selfish, so wrapped up into their own thing. And that's why they promote J.A. Rogers, Frederick Douglass. Because them cats, I'm not going to doubt that they gave us some profound things to learn.
That's right, bro.
But if you look long enough, you're going to find out they didn't like their self.
That's right, bro. And that brings us to an 1860 William Ellison was South Carolina's largest Negro slave owner.
See?
And black masters, a free family of color in the Old South, authors Michael P. Johnson and James L. Roke write a sympathetic account of Ellison's life, from Ellison's birth as a slave to his death at 71. And he said at birth he was given the name April. A common practice among slaves of the period was to name a child after the day or month of his or her birth. Between 1800 and 1802, April was purchased by a white slave owner named William Ellison.
Now, you go to the New York Times, August 26, 2001, they had an article there, something about the Civil War, the South winning or something like that, New York Times. They said in 1860, our value was three times the value of all the factories and railroads.
And bro, check out, it could be so. They said that apprentice at 12, he was taught the trades of carpentry, blacksmithing, and machining, as well as how to read, write, cipher, which means do math, and do basic bookkeeping.
Well,
so look, this one person right now today, brother, he's a company up on himself, isn't he, bro?
But you'll never find him. You'll never find. How many folks know that it was a black cat that made that Tickle Me Elmo?
I'll tell you, bro.
Huh? That little stupid doll that don't nobody even know what I'm talking about now.
That's right.
Made millions off it, didn't he?
That's right.
You're gonna find some shocking things about yesterday if you look, but you got to look, y'all. It don't change the dynamic. Here's a book I gotta give y'all to check out. It's called Our Kind of People. It's by Lawrence Otis Graham. You wanna learn about the black elite?
That's right.
You wanna learn about them? They got a higher per capita income than the white elite.
That's right, bro.
Their game is to keep the rest of us out.
And brother, it said this guy was freed in 1816. And brother, you know, 8 years later, in the time the black Esther family joined the predominantly white Episcopalian church, on August the 6th, 1824, he was allowed to put a family bench on the first floor among those of the wealthy white families.
And they better not say a word.
And brother, other blacks, free, enslaved, and poor whites sat in the balcony. Another wealthy Negro family will later join the first four worshipers.
Okay.
That's telling you right there, when they tell you that the blacks weren't allowed to do this and that. No, the poor blacks, the slave blacks wasn't.
Right.
If you was a rich black, you was right up there with everybody else.
If you was in the lodge, brother, if you had the secret handshake, the secret stance.
Look at these big black churches today. What you think that stand for?
Stand for yesterday slaving.
That's right, bro.
Brother, it's time for us to get out of here. You know, we're going to have to get back together, right?
Hey,
and
bro,
continue the dialogue. Why don't you share the information you have with the folks again?
I'm coming from the 6 black presidents, black blood, white mass, USA, their friends, their foes, their wives, their lives, an exquisite snapshot of history and transition by Dr. Sister Arset Bakufu.
That's right. And that sister, man, I'm telling you, if you get a chance, anybody to talk to her, talk to that sister about that book. That is an excellent book. And it does. It makes us have to. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say these things, that does not mean that I'm telling you to go out and carry on your self-hate by trying to mate with somebody that don't look like you. You know what I'm saying?
That's not
what I'm talking about. You should still love your own enough that you don't trip on that. You know? It's like they try to make a big deal out of the fact that African people from Somalia don't want their children to marry African people from another land. That's the way that goes.
I'm telling you.
What are you talking about? Anyway, that's our folks' way of looking at stuff. You don't have to look at it that way. Warrior, it's been good having you with us. Do you have some more sources you want to share?
Yes. Also, the article I was reading was Black Slave Owners. It's a Civil War article by Robert M. Grooms. You can find that and a lot more at AmericanCivilWar.com.
Right on, Warrior, for that. I'm going to call on Dada Kanati over there. Zalango to you, Warrior.
Zalango.
Did you find that article I was talking about?
August 26, 2001.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the name of that article?
It's from the New York Times, August 26, 2001, entitled Free at Last, The Enduring Legacy of the South Civil War Victory by David Bryan Davis.
Free at Last, The Enduring Legacy of the South Civil War Victory, New York Times, August 26, 2001. You get that article, man. It's got everything. They loaded it up. They didn't care. They put it all in there about what they did to you, right? You need to read that, along with the research Warrior Inkle shared with us. Kanati, you want to shout out to the folks up and down the Human Rights Information Network that make it possible? Go ahead.
Okay. We're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, and 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with B-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also, invite all of you to check us out on the Real Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Conservatively estimating serving over 1 million folks coast to coast on the FM spectrum. It's the Human Rights Patrol. And our guest tonight, on the phones with us tonight, out of the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, was war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, owner and operator of Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM, celebrating their 1,058th day and night of broadcasting since December of 1998. I'm talking about Kaka Inko Yahuru. And in the studios with us tonight out of the Criminal Enterprise, Gulf Springfield, Illinois, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Network Internet co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol. I'm talking about Dada Kanati Kentako. I'm in Banner Kentako. We're in our 4,639th night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise, Gulf Springfield, Illinois, at 106.7 FM. And there's no question about it. Everybody knows by now that you're listening to the people's choice because the people choose to listen to
Human Rights Radio Network.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion.
And
courage. We will live as models. To provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determined. We are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kupala!
Kupala!